This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The power is coming back on for hundreds of thousands who lost it due to the winter weather over the past couple of days, but more than 170,000 customers are still waiting for it to return. Here's CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
In Montana, it's been 40 below or worse for much of the week. Many states at risk for blackouts or rolling outages. One power operator overseeing 13 states now asking residents to conserve.
Buffalo, New York has gotten nearly 3 feet of snow, and roads are snowy and icy in much of the state. Governor Kathy Hochul.
The roads are not safe. So I would just say, as hard as it is, be sure to make your holiday plans for another time if you're not already united with your family.
As the snow eases up a bit in the Midwest and East, the plains are getting socked again. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has deployed the state's National Guard to help Sioux tribes that live in isolated areas. KOTA-TV's Austin Goss.
A lot of people who live on these reservations could live 15, 18, 20 miles from anything, not just from a grocery store, from a hospital, but from anything.
A lot of the counties that the reservations encompass here in South Dakota are some of the poorest in the United States.
Tribal officials say snow drifts are as high as 10 feet, and they're blocking roads and stranding families who need food and heating supplies. Save the Children, CARE, and Norwegian Refugee Council all say they've suspended operations in Afghanistan after the Taliban's latest crackdown on women. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The Taliban has ordered all national and international NGOs, or non-governmental organizations, to stop their women employees from working. The order, which has drawn swift international condemnation, comes less than a week after the Taliban banned women from attending universities.
The aid groups say they need women in the workforce to effectively serve the people who need help in Afghanistan. Well, you and I, of course, can get the flu, but apparently so can our dogs. Here's CBS's Christopher Cruz.
In some parts of the country, the illness is so prevalent and severe that veterinarians are telling dog owners to keep their pets away from other dogs at dog parks, doggy daycares, and boarding facilities. One veterinarian in Maryland tells WTOP News that two or three dogs a day are now coming into her hospital with flu symptoms, up from a few cases a month.
At the Vatican, Pope Francis's Christmas message includes a call to end the war in Ukraine and other conflicts. He spoke hours after air raid sirens went off across Ukraine and after an attack that killed 10 and wounded more in Kherson. And thousands of visitors are back in Bethlehem after two difficult pandemic years, celebrating Christmas where tradition says Jesus was born. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Kalata of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy-efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about
December 24th, 2022. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you local, not live, but local, from the offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Yeomans Park, where we are proud to recognize our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And as I mentioned, this show is actually being recorded on Monday evening, December 19th. So just, as we're doing this, I'm a good 5 days away from Christmas Eve. But as you're watching this, I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas Eve and, of course, a Merry Christmas. I'd also like to say Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish brethren and Happy Holidays to all of those, everyone else, regardless of what you worship, and all the best for a safe and lovely holiday season. And my guest today, or this evening, or this morning for you, those of you listening, is kind of a new member to the Downtown Waukesha community, business community, a young entrepreneur, only 27 years old. Can I say that?
Absolutely.
Too late. Cat's out of the bag. And his name is Robert Bo Blask, and he is the new owner of Mia's.
Yeah.
An Italian restaurant in downtown Waukesha with a storied history. How many years has it been around?
Oh, gosh. I think it, for the last 17 years, it was Mia's. And then before that, it was another restaurant. And then before that, sure enough, I think it was a bakery at some point.
Sure.
It's got, I think, 60 years of history, but it's was built as a restaurant back in the day, and then it remained.
It's always been a restaurant.
Always been a restaurant, yeah.
And you come in, but you're keeping the concept the same, but just giving it a nice facelift.
Yeah. New shrubs, some
excellent
paint.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. So, and some culinary innovations, I imagine.
Absolutely.
So we'll get to that during the show, but I just want to, we're also making this a Christmas and holiday celebration, some reflections, some Christmas memories, some favorite pastimes from our families. Bo's going to share some. I'm going to share some. And as some other elements that make this time very special. And one thing I need to do, some house cleaning, is on last Saturday's show, we had a very vibrant discussion, thanks to my guests who were Jared Dable, who I'm now calling the Waukesha South Football Super Dad, and our very own James Santel, our attorney in residence, host of Morning Cannolis, that follows my show on Saturday mornings. And you can look forward to hearing I'm sure his will be recorded too, as he'll be observing the holidays. Along with our engineer, Calvin, forgot to mention Calvin, and really glad you could fit us in tonight so we could all have off on Christmas Eve morning. But we had a discussion on
a movement that started, it's been around for a long time, but it's really taken action since the end of last football season when the South Blackshirts were forced to forfeit the last two games because of injuries and lack of enough qualified players. And the storm that had started because there were some issues over our administration allowing them to boycott, and then finally, you know, making the right decision a day later and saying, yes, the health and safety of our young men come first. And so we, Jared, myself, another South football father, and other parents like us, and other people in the community, and as Jared revealed in the show, parents from other high schools in the Classic 8 are very supportive of our efforts to move Waukesha South. And our friends at Waukesha North, same thing. They're trying to move out of the Classic 8 because we simply don't fit. And the variables were out there were much smaller school, for one. And so we're not able to field the same teams and compete on the same level as these. And Classic 8 is, you know, one of the toughest, if not the toughest conference in the state. And I take my hat off to them. But South and North, with declining enrollments and smaller student bodies, just don't fit. But another metric we mentioned in an article from Coach Wiltz was that over 50% of our student body is economically disadvantaged. And what we didn't do in this last episode, we didn't go into detail as to why that is a bigger factor than it appears on the surface. And a couple reasons. One is that in these other communities where the Classic 8 hails, is these more affluent communities, these young men have more resources, coaching, facilities, all the things, youth football from, you know, probably as old as they could walk. Whereas for these youth in Waukesha, they can't afford this type of coaching or resources. And we also learned that for many of these students wanting to participate in athletics and extracurriculars, food insecurity has become a big issue. So, you know, in recent years, a lot of parents have come together to make meals for these young men before the games. And but also, you know, many of these kids also come from expatriate communities and lower income communities where they are having to babysit their siblings while one or both parents are working and take care of the family, even work. So the opportunity to participate in extracurricular activities isn't quite there for many of these kids, let alone their opportunity to really do their best in the classroom. So it is a big, you know, the demographics relating to socioeconomics, to income inequality is a, you know, very legitimate and very serious issue when it comes to the challenges we have in developing a competitive football program. So we encourage everybody to join us, contact the WIAA, get a hold of our athletic director, Dan Schreier. If you're a North student or family, talk to your athletic director there. I know they also filed a petition with the WIAA, and that was what made this issue bigger. Is the WIAA, which was involved in a major conference realignment study or initiative, after reviewing at least three good realignment proposals for the Classic 8, chose not to make any changes to the Classic 8, which is an insult to us, and could also expose WIAA legally to some issues regarding health and safety of our young men, the mental health of our young men, and inequality, you know, the not allowing them to compete on a level playing field. So we encourage your input, encourage calls on future shows, and stay tuned for some other things that we're going to be doing on our end to make some noise about this. So, but anyway, back to this show and to the Christmas time. And Bo, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. So I met Bo for the first time at when we were broadcasting the Christmas parade. He was a sponsor for Mia's.
That's
and
right.
I was really delighted to meet him because I didn't realize Mia's had new ownership.
Oh, yeah. Well, we tried to keep it kind of quiet.
Yeah.
There was a strategy in that.
Okay.
We wanted a smooth transition. We didn't want to close. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of promised the kitchen that we wouldn't close
really?
At all.
And, okay.
We made a smooth transition. It was, I think there was like a two-day gap that we were already closed. So we took advantage of that, and we said, okay, we won't traditionally close on a Friday. We'll close on a Monday, and the deal went down. And then that Wednesday, we were back up and running full speed, and we hit the ground running pretty hard. So,
very cool.
Yeah, I think other than just a quick little post that the previous owner and management had left, that was the only kind of communication as far as changing ownership. And then eventually The Freeman did an article, sure enough.
Oh, very nice.
They wanted to do one on the day of, but, you know, with all the chaos, I sure. kind of pushed it off for a week. And then
sure.
eventually the word got out. So, you know, for a good 15 minutes, I was the talk of the town, right?
Well, and you gave a great broadcast during the parade, or great interview during the parade. So yeah. We're excited to have you back so soon. And you came from Pewaukee, where you grew up, right?
Yeah.
Why did you choose downtown Waukesha for opening a restaurant?
Well, I was familiar with downtown. I knew about the Friday Night Live. I'd been going to it since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You know, I've been around. I'm aware of how it works. I was looking at a few other restaurants.
Okay.
And then when I caught wind that Mia's was for sale, it was sure. drop everything you do, chase right. after it as hard as you can. And
very cool.
It was quite the deal.
And you did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's true. And you mentioned this morning, too, that you had the help. You got a pretty strong team of people around
Absolutely.
You in terms of your professional services. And you found a lawyer here in downtown Waukesha that helped you seal the deal, if we can talk about that.
Well, yeah, he's not a lawyer, but he's Bill Bellwether.
Okay.
He's a specialist in procuring restaurants when banks fail you.
Wow, you know, okay.
After you get turned down from seven different sure. banks, let me tell you, it's kind of, you know, demoralizing. You say to sure. yourself, well, gee, what do we do now?
Right.
And I had a team behind me, and it seemed to have, you know, over a nine-month period of time, seemed to have grown to this mass. And everybody was like, okay, we got one last person. He's kind of our ace in the hole. And sure yeah. enough, we met with him. It was a 10-minute conversation. I gave him kind of my pitch, my business plan, what we were looking to do, and why this was going to work. And then sure enough, he was like, yeah, let's do this.
That's great. And so, like you said, like within a day's time.
Three, actually. Actually, we got an offer on a Sunday.
That's great.
So he put together a package on I think it was like a Friday morning.
That's great.
Sent the package out to a bunch of different lenders and private investors and whatnot.
Sunday you got an offer.
Yeah, and That's Sunday fantastic. We got three different offers.
That's
yeah.
terrific. Okay.
So it was pretty wild. It was nice to have at least a little selection. So
when did you move? What was your moving date when you came into Mia's?
September 26th.
Okay, so it's been a few months. Okay.
Yeah, so it's been like, 60-some days. We're coming up to the 90-day.
So now you're able to focus on what presents to get for Christmas now for your loved ones.
And absolutely. Right well, everybody's
getting. All the hard stuff behind you, right?
Yeah, aviation gin, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there might be a little taken off the top on each bottle, but
there you go.
You know,
yeah. Very nice. Will you guys be open for the Christmas Eve at all, or the
23rd? I'll say we're not open for dine-in, but
okay.
For all month we've been pretty hard on communicating about the the to-go packages that go
nice.
Out on
sure,
December
yeah.
24th.
Oh, that's
during
nice.
The morning.
Okay,
so from 7 a.m. to 11. We've gotten quite a few orders. A lot of people have called
They've
in.
Already called in. That's
oh,
exciting.
Yes.
Oh, terrific.
I get you lasagna, buddy.
Yeah, you sure do.
Have called in to get the garlic bread, lasagna, get it all packaged up in these nice little white boxes, and then you get a 15-minute increment because that's how busy we're going to be.
Sure.
Where you got to come
fantastic.
And you got to grab it.
All right.
Be on your way.
Fantastic. So, hey, we're going to go to a break now, but we will be back with Robert Beau Blask, new owner of Mia's, and to talk about some more Christmas and holiday memories as This Week in Waukesha continues.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life, but we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 9 above. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Snow showers likely. Lows dip down to about 6 above. Chance for snow showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 16. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. Saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. What was in those ships, all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day? What was in those ships, all three on Christmas Day in the morning? Well, Jesus Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Jesus Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and that is Sting, A Winter's Night Live from Durham Cathedral 2009. I saw three ships, and it's fantastic. You have to hear this thing entirely. It's a great mixture of music, different vocals. Here, I believe that's a, yep, there's some Irish Uilleann bagpipes playing in there and some fiddle. And yeah, it's just, it's beautiful stuff, and it's, I came across it maybe, well, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and it's, I like including that in my holiday music mix. So I'd also like to share something else that's become a part of my Christmas ritual. And it was something that in my former parish, our pastor had read it in Mass one day. And it's called Another Boy. And I want to read it right now. It's a very short essay, if you will, by Bruce Barton, the creator of Betty Crocker cookbooks. Which Bo appreciates that as a restaurateur and a chef.
Absolutely.
Sleepless and bewildered, but gloriously proud, the husband of Mary emerged from the stable and made his way to the census taker's booth. For it was the decree of Imperial Rome ordering a general census that had brought them to Bethlehem. The angel's song hummed through his heart and timed his steps with its rhythm. His fine bronzed face was radiant with the wonder of the night. But in Roman blanks and reckonings kept the census taker busy, and all that census taker saw was another peasant standing in the line. Name? He demanded in a routine tone. Joseph, carpenter, of Nazareth, of the house of David. Married? Yes. Wife's name? Mary. Children? The sturdy young carpenter drew himself up. One child, he answered quickly. A son, Jesus, born last night. Was there any comment? Did that petty government official who wrote for the first time the name that was to be above every name, did he wonder as he wrote? Probably not. It was just one more name on the census roll. Just another boy. What laughter would have rung through Rome if someone had pointed to that name and said, there is the beginning of the end of your empire and of all the empires everywhere. Yet it would have been true. Democracy began and thrones began to totter when he said, you are sons and daughters of God. For if all men and women are children of God, then all are brothers and sisters, and the poorest are entitled to equal privileges with the king. Rome would have laughed, and Rome is dead. The influence of the child lives on, uplifting the standards of action and thought, inspiring laws, enlisting the strong in service of the needy and the weak. We celebrate this month his birthday, and the festival of all children everywhere. They, not we, are the really important people of the earth. In cradles and at the foot of Christmas trees are the lives that are to overthrow and rebuild all that we have built. Nothing is so powerful or so perfect that it cannot be transformed utterly by the miracle of another girl or another boy. That was written, I believe, in 1923, a few years after the end of what was called the Great War, and the end of what was a lot of the monarchies that had ruled Europe and much of the world. And there was maybe kind of this movement, as there were some economic uncertainties in the early part of the 20s and some wars and revolutions that had taken place throughout the world, and this idea of like maybe returning to a monarchy in some countries or having a king or a queen. And with what had been achieved, the Great War, with the growth of some democratic republics and the idea of, you know, in the struggle for greater equality, Bruce Barton had written this beautifully eloquent, a very eloquent piece on what Christmas meant to him and really meant to all of us here in this American experiment, this American dream. And I know separation of church and state, I'm a very huge fan of that. But for many of us that are of a certain Christian belief, that this idea of that we're all our brother's keepers, we're all our sister's keepers. We are all one family, regardless of what separates us, regardless of how different we may look, regardless of what our beliefs are, that at the end of the day, if you truly believe, we're all children of the King. And this is the festival of children and the magic of Christmas, seeing those children, the eyes light up when they're opening presents under the tree and knowing that, that chubby old St. Nick made them very special in honor of the birth of what a lot of people believe to be, their Messiah. And so I always enjoy reading that every Christmas, even if it's just to myself, and grateful for the opportunity to share it with everybody. So we have like another minute and a half for the first break. Do you have a favorite Christmas memory off the top of your head, Bo?
Oh gosh, I have so many. You know, every Christmas is like wildly different from the one before. Mm-hmm. I'll say I have an interesting one where my parents went through the elaborate task of shuffling me out of the house one very young Christmas Eve, because believe it or not, my birthday is also on Christmas Eve, right?
Nice.
So the trick was, thank you. The trick was that they made it very apparent that there were no gifts underneath the tree at the time that we were leaving the house, right? You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And so we left the house, and I was very naive at that young age. And we went shopping. I remember because I think we were at like Sears or something.
Sure.
It was just real, you know, the monotony of the day. And then we returned home, and then sure enough, all these presents under the tree.
Okay.
And I still, to this day, have no answer, because they won't give me an answer as to how they were able to achieve that, because I knew they were both with me at the same time.
Another Christmas miracle.
Yeah. They said that they made a deal with Santa that day that he would bring it a little early.
I love it. Oh, that's really cool. I love it.
Absolutely.
So, hey, we'll be back with more on This Week in Waukesha as we share Christmas memories with Robert Bo Blask, of a new owner of Mia's here in downtown.
Thank you, sir.
Don't go away.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. About 170,000 customers around the country are still without power, with snow compounded by bone-chilling temperatures. Cold snap seems like an understatement. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
One thing that's made this storm so challenging is this severe drop in temperatures, with the mercury plunging in some places as much as 30 or 40 degrees.
The snow has stopped in much of New York State, but it's still coming down in western New York. Many roads snowy and icy. Governor Kathy Hochul.
It is absolutely dangerous for anyone to be on the roads, and that includes our emergency vehicles.
The Taliban has banned women from working in non-governmental aid organizations in Afghanistan. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
A Taliban statement reads, there have been serious complaints regarding the non-observance of the Islamic hijab and other rules and regulations pertaining to the work of females.
The NGOs say they need the women to help them. Now they've suspended operations. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
Too, huh? And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
To see ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Our finest glory.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. I'm sure many of you by now have heard this. I had the great privilege of seeing it for the first time at CBS in December of 1977, and it was Bing Crosby. It's Bing Crosby with David Bowie, and there's a great story behind that. But Bing Crosby had actually passed away a few months before, and he was like golfing in like Puerto Rico or maybe one of the other like Caribbean islands. And that show was pre-recorded probably in the summertime. And David Bowie, one of my favorites, you know, at the time was still a very, I don't want to say controversial, but complicated, you know, rock star. And to see him, you know, this, you know, he kind of wavered about, you know, his, I guess, you know, sexual orientation and a lot, you know, and he was
really into a lot of like newer, innovative, like Space Odyssey was one of his projects, and just a lot of neat and crazy out there stuff. And then there's Bing Crosby, who's, you know, White Christmas was like the greatest selling album of all time until the Beatles Help single came along, of all the singles. And, you know, and he was, you know, just one of these like father figures. And here he is hanging out with David Bowie. It's at a neighbor's house in England. Well, David Bowie's like borrowing the piano just to hack around. And it was just this neat kind of cross-generational like bonding over, you know, something that unites us all, which is, you know, many of us, which is, you know, Christmas and the holiday season and that spirit of goodwill. And they do this really cool duo that includes It's a Little Drummer Boy and then another little something on top of that. It's just a classic. And I always enjoy hearing that when that comes on. And you hear it a lot more on the radio than you used to. And it's easy to find on YouTube, and encourage everyone to check it out on YouTube. And so, Bo Blast, do you have a favorite Christmas song that you like to play over there at Mia's? Holiday song?
Well, you know, at Mia's. Well, I'll say I do have a favorite. I think it comes down to Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, only because it reminds me of my grandparents.
Oh, neat.
But it's funny that you had mentioned that album, because I'm positive I have that on vinyl.
Sure.
And then I also have the Kenny Rogers Christmas there on vinyl as well. So,
Kenny Rogers left us this year, sadly. Yeah. So remembered fondly.
Yeah.
So, great performer, great music. And I guess it's my turn to share a Christmas memory. And same thing, I have so many. I grew up in a big family, youngest of 10 children. And one of our Christmas time rituals when we were young was, you know, growing up outside of Buffalo, New York, we could just barely get some of the Canadian TV stations in nearby Hamilton, Ontario. And every Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock Eastern, that CBC affiliate would play a Christmas Carol, the 1951 version, which is the best version of a Christmas, unless you see it on stage with Alistair Sim. You know that one, Bo?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I was telling Calvin about it, and Calvin's got it on his schedule of fun things to do with Christmas. He might start a new tradition at his family's house. But as a kid, when you're it's black and white. So it's just, and then you have this, you know, evil, greedy miser, loner, you know, like just despises the whole world. And you have that really like maudlin music at the beginning, that it had the feeling of a horror film. And as you get older, you realize that the guy was living his own horror film because of all of his anger and his arrogance and greed and just, you know, shutting the whole world out. And that became, we enjoyed watching, that was my dad's thing, and we all had to watch it. And of course, it has the very happy ending, and it's just a great story. And years later, my siblings and I, like when we call each other, we refer to a lot of those lines from the movie. Like I was texting my brother, Gary, who was at the Bills game on Saturday when they beat the Dolphins, always a big win for us. And he was saying that he was making rather merry last night, which is from Bob Cratchit at the end. You know, he comes to work late the day after Christmas, and he's supposed to be there on time, and Scrooge pretends like he's firing him, but he's actually giving him a big raise. And yeah, it's just a great, there's so many great lines. But when I got older too, there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal about the book. Charles Dickens, that book came out in 1843 on this day, December 19th, the day we're recording this show. And it sold out by Christmas Eve. And by the very next year, it was printed in like 13 different printers and probably different languages. And 175 years later, it's still a classic that stands the test of time. But when Dickens came out with that book in the 1840s, you had this prevalent belief in a lot of like evangelical Christianity that was prominent in the UK with, and it was like near the start of the Great Famine in Ireland. And Ireland was part of the British Empire at the time. And there was also a lot of what they called poorhouses or union workhouses, where they stuck a lot of the poor and unemployed in just really desperate conditions. And so, you know, this is the Industrial Revolution, and there's winners and losers, and there were a lot of big losers in London. And there was this famous economist at the time named Thomas Malthus, who he justified this people's existence as divine providence, or God was punishing these people for their fecklessness. Mm-hmm. So the right thing for them to do for the betterment of all humanity is to just die and decrease the surplus population, which, as you remember in the book, Scrooge says that on at least one occasion, maybe more. And I remember this one scene that I really liked, and it's obviously very haunting. It's the when the Ghost of Christmas Present parts with Scrooge. And before he leaves, he opens up his robe, and there's like two like starving, like really decrepit looking children. And he says to them, he says to Scrooge, if I can see here, he says, "The girl is want and the boy is ignorance." And I may have that backwards. Yeah, no, no. Yep. The boy is want. Yeah, the girl is want and the boy is ignorance. And he says, "Beware them both in all their degree, but most of all, beware this boy, for on this brow I see that written, which is doom, unless the writing be erased." And the spirit once again quotes Scrooge, because Scrooge asks, like, don't these, you know, children have any refuge or resource? And he quotes a line that Scrooge says to these volunteer collectors for the poor on Christmas, like earlier in the movie or in the story. And he says back to me, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workout?" And he keeps repeating it. And he keeps screaming it. And Scrooge is running away. And he can't run away because the ghost voice just gets louder. "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" And even as it's fading out, "No prisons, no workhouses." And he finally runs into the Ghost of Christmas Future. And it's, you know, as you know, it's great. It's great theater. And it's just great and great drama. And it really, when Dickens wrote that book, it was an indictment of Malthusian economics and this Malthusian approach to Christianity that was just wrong. And another thing too was that also made Christmas a bigger holiday than it is. It was always a holiday of the poor and the working people and those who believe, the peasants, the Christians. But it was never so much, it wasn't so much as big a deal in the bourgeoisie or the elite. And then the story came out and became a huge success. And Dickens kind of wrote what a lot of people were thinking. And so it just made it in a positive way, it politicized Christmas. And this whole idea of better things to come and the promise of Christmas. And so it's, again, another one of those great scenes. And so that's what we would do on Christmas Eve every year. I mean, we'd exchange gifts. We'd do our Kris Kringles on Christmas Eve. And that was always fun. And there'd be a little feast on Christmas Eve. And some of us maybe even go to Mass so we don't have to go on Christmas Day. But we were all back. By 8 o'clock, we were in the family room watching A Christmas Carol with the lights shut out. And that was fun. And we loved that. It was a great, great part of it. So that and some years playing football on Christmas Day, especially when there was enough snow on the ground. There was snow on the ground. And that was a lot of fun. So, but 5 minutes left before the next segment. So let's give Bo anything else you're doing for the holidays there at Mias that we can look forward to or people should think about.
Well, so glad you asked.
Yeah.
December 27th, we are hosting a holiday party.
Nice.
Yeah, it's real cool. It's the first one Mias has ever done. It's free food. We're not doing our traditional...
free food.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Did you hear that?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Free food.
Happy holidays.
No tickets. Just come on in. It's we have a nice traditional holiday spread. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're getting away from our common menu, and we're trying to do something just really unique just for that night.
Right.
We do have live music brought to you by The Last Bees. So they're coming in.
Okay.
They'll be there as well.
Okay, what's their genre, Last Bees?
I want to say... it's like a mash of like the Beatles and
oh cool
yeah it's got like a real classic vibe to them and I
nice.
Told them you know kind of
an old Beatles fan
have some Christmas music you know play some original material
okay
they're great they do a lot of the Friday Night Live
okay so they're
yeah
they're, Waukesha's familiar with them
oh it'll definitely they have yeah, a very so they're very local which was
that's great
which was important to me to get somebody
sure. And they'll be playing there inside the restaurant
yeah absolutely
very cool
yeah we'll cut a little corner out for them you know you know there's not a lot of space in there so you know maybe they'll be on the tables or something
it's so and I don't want to be too ungrateful but why the free food?
Well, you know, it's a time to give back, you know. That's kind of the message here. We had, like, an outpouring of support from the community, you know, from my neighbors.
In such a short time that you've come in.
Right, in just a short time. Word got out quick, and then people were obviously interested. And people really wanted to ensure that the Mia's history and legacy was still intact. That was that was something that we had to kind of ensure that was there.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
I think I think I was threatened to be drawn and quartered in the parking lot if I changed the bread. So don't worry. Bread is the same.
Yep.
But so December 27th is a time for us to give back to some of those customers that have really came out, showed their support. And then some of our neighbors as well. And anybody else in the community wants to come and show some merriment and have a good time. And there's we have some ham, mashed potatoes. I think my head chef Chad is making some vegetables. We have cookies.
So that's just Italian food. Some great holiday fares.
Right. Yeah. We're really trying to keep it traditional. Keep it comfort food. Something that's nostalgic to what Christmas is.
Sure.
We try to do a Christmas holiday spread.
Okay. That's
neat. It's only for 3 hours though, so it's if you want to come in, it's from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
December 27th.
Tuesday, December 27th,
that's
correct?
That's right. And we're usually closed that day. So, opened up specifically for that night. The bar is open. We do have some free hot apple cider, again, just like we did at the parade. And that was a big hit. And, of course, if you want to make that apple cider jolly, we can do that for you as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to make it over there. Right. So, yeah, I'll have to try it out. Yeah.
For a small fee, of course. But
hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're giving the food away.
Well, that's all right.
Are you sure we
making food all year.
That's really neat. That's great. That's a great little tradition you're starting.
Right. Well, we put out some marketing for it. Facebook is known about it.
Nice.
I think the Freeman is doing a piece on it as well.
And now Walk Radio knows.
And now Walk Radio knows.
Yeah, we talked about it at the parade too. I'm glad you reminded me. And to me, it's important that the Christmas spirit, the whole holiday thing lives. Not only like the day after Christmas, like the 26th in Ireland, where my family was from, it's St. Andrew's. It's a big day, and it's also known as Boxing Day. Mm. And that's the day that a lot of the servants or the people that, the help, if you will, got to celebrate their Christmas. And so that's I like to make that a fun day. But even into January, I want to see that holiday spirit live. And I like to see company parties that take place in January, holiday parties. And then with Waukesha, with our Winter Jamboree, I think that's a great way to keep this, this holiday spirit alive. And so it's I think the Shaw is well positioned for that. And considering the year we had last year and the way our community has healed and continues to heal and come together, the whole blue light fixture they have by the river there is beautiful. The treatment and the way downtown looks. Yeah, it's very kind of Dickensian, as it says, a really great holiday feel to it. So we're going to go to another break, but we'll be back with Robert Boblask, new owner of Mia's here in downtown Waukesha, as this week in Waukesha continues. Can it be?
Can it be?
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Partly cloudy this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 9 above. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Snow showers likely. Lows around 6 above. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance of snow showers 16.
A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
And that was Coldplay doing my favorite cover of The Pretenders' 2,000 Miles. And, of course, the original's terrific. I always love The Pretenders, love Chrissie Hynde. KT Tunstall also does a pretty neat cover that actually is closer to The Pretenders' version. It's a little more upbeat, has more instrumentals. What I love about this Coldplay is it's just the piano and just Cold. And at the end, there's some vocals, like choir vocals, and it's just really... really tugs at the heartstrings for me. And, you know, many of us have had those Christmases where you're solo and then you meet somebody and if you're lucky, you find that special someone and to celebrate Christmas with. And, you know, in this case, that special someone is miles away, either at school, work, or whatever it is. And it's just such a great expression. And, you know, the Christmas season, that's one thing I want to, you know, is really make sure everybody's included. You know, send a card to your neighbor, go knock on a door, invite somebody to a holiday gathering, take them to Mia's on the 27th.
Excellent,
George. for that special party, because, you know, it's that time of sharing. And the one downside of Christmas is that loneliness that some of us encounter. As a father, as you know, we're a blended family. And so there's many Christmases where I don't have my oldest son. And so it's just great. I'm grateful to have other family, other children. My wife Melissa, nice, you know, great extended family she has here local, and the virtual support. My family around the country, I have a, you know, large family, and so a lot to be grateful for. And you know, but there are those that don't, and their children are still very young, and so that's, you know, for those people, you know, keep them in your hearts. Be sure to include them. Make the holiday season special for everyone. And for my wife, Melissa, and I, it's also a very special time too, because it was like one of our first dates. And like we took in, you know, we were at my place and we watched a couple of movies, and one of them was P.S. I Love You. And that first song, the Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues, which I consider, many consider the greatest song of the 20th century. That was a part of that movie and in a very like prevalent scene. And so I don't be surprised if we pop that one in sometime during the holidays. So, Melissa, if I'm listening, you know, Merry Christmas and thank you for all of your gifts, our children, and our life together. I'm the luckiest man in the world. So, for the exception of Calvin, of course, our engineer. Look at that big smile. That's, you got to smile more, man. So, and of course, our budding young entrepreneur, Bo Blask, 27-year-old restaurateur.
Oh, yeah.
And you do other things in addition to run a restaurant. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us, give us your little bio real quick.
I like to think the restaurant is more of a hobby now, but it's full-time hobby, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm also a youth correctional officer on third shift now, which allows me, obviously, to operate the restaurant during the day. So I, you know, work for, you know, Milwaukee Youth Detention Center. Neat. Over there on Watertown Plank Road.
Okay.
Definitely filled with some very interesting stories.
Sure, sure.
I did recently leave my position as an EMT.
Wow.
So, you know, I had done that for a while. And a lot of times I do, you know, multiple jobs at once.
Sure.
From various restaurants. Sure.
But your love is restaurants.
Yeah. Well.
Your first love. And how did you get into that again? Because we talked about this morning at coffee, but I'd love to hear, you know, for our listeners to talk about how, what. So
I think my first, well.
You're washing dishes.
Yeah, washing dishes at Michael's House of Prime. Gotta love it over there on, I think it was Highway SS across the dock there.
Okay.
Yeah. rest in peace, the old building. But I was brought on very hastily because I needed my, you know, my dad was trying to get me to get a job at a very young, young ripe age of like 14.
Okay.
And my teacher at the time was, his parents were the owner of Michael's House of Prime. So sure enough, it was an easy in. I came in.
Talk about using your connections.
Right, you have to. That's in networking at 14 years old. That's how you start it, right? And then, so I, washing dishes, sure enough, humbles you. And I suppose my first professional taste in cooking was their prep chef had quit.
In the middle of the shift.
In the middle of the shift, yeah. It was like a 6 o'clock rush time. I don't know what happened, but he was out.
And you stepped up.
I stepped up.
Nice.
Now, we had, luckily, that night we had two dishwashers because it was one of those like Friday nights.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And so I was like, listen, I know how to, you know, do all of that back there. I'll go in there.
Right.
A little apprehension, believe it or not.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, are you sure about this? You know, 14 years old. I'm like, you know, give it to me. We can do it. And then we did.
You killed it.
Yeah, I killed it.
Another Christmas miracle. Although it was probably in June or July or something.
It was. Oh gosh, I don't even remember. I think you know I was still in school at the time,
sure.
So I would basically moonlight that job after school.
Nice. Yeah.
But you know what? Really, where the cooking comes down is my dad. My dad was quite the Chef Boyardee home chef.
Love
right?
it.
And he was very much of a scratch cook. He took it very seriously, very passionate about it, very good. And so even at a very young age. Cooking was just kind of a part of our family.
It was a
way for him to vent. It was a way for me to vent.
Right.
And it was something that kind of brought us together.
Okay. That's cool.
So I take it seriously even in my own house.
Right.
I'm very much a scratch cook myself.
Sure.
And while you won't see me cooking at Mia's, we have an excellent head chef.
Nice.
You know, Chef Chad. He does a great job. So I feel confident that I don't have to step in on that
That's good.
Scenario. But
Sounds great.
Cooking is such an intimate part of everybody's life, and I guess a lot of people don't consider it that way. But and it's huge on the holidays, right? I
sure.
mean, we always do a real big Christmas spread, or at least my dad does.
Nice.
He kind of takes the reins all the you know Thanksgiving and Christmas,
sure,
and he
sure.
makes a big and he goes all out for it. I mean, he could probably feed 20, but there's only 4 of us now.
Will he be helping out with the Christmas party on the 27th?
You know what? He will. So if you want
to
get a chance to meet the legend himself, he'll be there running around like a madman.
I love it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's helping out. I'll be there. My head chef will be there.
Okay.
We'll have a bartender there. And
that's
about it. We're trying to keep this very casual, low-key.
Sure.
It'll be a lot of fun. Get a real good chance to kind of just do something different, right?
Celebrate the holidays in the
celebrate
community.
Celebrate the holidays
here in downtown.
The community,
yeah.
giving back. And
I love it.
That's the story here. And I will add. That we are also doing because we're partnered with the Waukesha Food Drive.
Okay.
So we have a barrel out right now.
Right.
It's going on still all month long.
Okay.
They pick up the barrel
for collections.
For collections, yeah.
You get a
$5 voucher with it, but come on in. Let's, you know, we'll
still
have some time to fill it up.
That sounds great.
You know, I want to be able to give it back and say, listen, it's overflowing.
Robert Boblatt, I wish we had more time.
Yeah.
We're less than a minute here, but
that's
I want to thank you for being a part of this special Christmas Eve presentation. Robert Boblask, new owner of Mia's. Be sure to check out his free holiday party on the 27th, 4 to 7. To all of you, a Merry Christmas to those who believe. Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and happy holidays to all of you. Enjoy the season. Be safe. And peace.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you next time this week in Waukesha. Thank you, Robert. Bye for now.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Correct.
Is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.